BBC
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.
Here is today's Scott Mills Daily, including a very festive 24 years at the tap end, news on Unlucky Gary's Christmas party, and I've got an extra special surprise for Chris.
Scott Mills, BBC Radio 1.
I've boshed banter in Prague, I've dressed up as a Smurf, I've swapped lives with a German, bought strip pens in France, I've covered teachers in sunscreen, nearly drowned in some foam, I had a naked massage, me and my mates had a laugh, I did.
24 years at the top end.
At the tap end.
And now it's time for another Christmas special. I hope it is, anyway.
Mm.
Is it Christmas?
It is, actually, yeah.
Okay.
I promised Fern Cotton that I would dedicate this one to her.
Why?
Today. I don't know, we were having a discussion about tap end, and today's one is about Christmas time in Watford. And she's experienced that many times.
She has.
So, as a point, I'd like to dedicate this to Fern Cotton, BBC Radio 1's very own.
Is she mentioned in the story?
No, not
just,
at all.
Just a dedication.
Not even referred to.
Well, are you keen?
I'm Frankine Sensational.
I'm blowing my nose on a Kleenex tissue.
And because it's Christmas, I'm Rage Against the McKean.
Oh, lovely.
Do you think these will ever run out?
Yes, I'm running out now.
Okay, I'm taking you to the 17th year at the tap end. We're all keen. I'm ready.
I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Ready. 'Twas three nights before Christmas, and all over the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. Me and the lads were playing a bit of a generic football game that rhymes with Queen Latifah. And as always, it was getting a bit tense.
What's that?
I've got no idea.
Latifah.
Oh, right, yeah.
FIFA.
Yeah.
Say it quickly.
You're like Scott when he eats. If you do it really quickly, you think it doesn't count. If I turn my back to you and put this entire donut in one mouth, all the calories won't be there when I turn back round.
I do that, don't I?
You do. Right. And I sometimes wish you just eat it slowly, because then you'd appreciate it and you wouldn't eat another one 10 minutes later.
I think if I eat it really fast and it doesn't actually count towards calories. I don't think it works like that, does it?
We play a lot of this game, and several rules have developed between us regarding acceptable practice. One time, when I was beating Dougsy 6-0, he turned off the console halfway through the game. I refused to talk to him for 3 days. When we would fall out, I would get my action with strangers over the internet.
Eh?
Although there is nothing more frustrating...
whoa, that's a bit weird.
No, I mean, because you can play online now.
Right. Is that safe and secure?
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay.
Although there is nothing more frustrating, and in my opinion wrong, than when you are beating someone online and they quit by turning off their console and losing the connection. It's cowardice to the absolute extreme, and anyone that does it should be ashamed. There's no pride in this dirty tactic.
It's a bit like when people turn the board game upside down when it's not going their way.
It's the equivalent of...
There's always someone there at Christmas doing that.
It's infuriating. You know what? I'd have so much more respect for you if you just played the full 90 minutes and take your beating. Me, Dougsy and Webbo were playing a lot of this game, as it was winter time, and being 17, we weren't able to get into pubs, really. It was an exciting time being the run-up to Christmas, though. Christmas trees were up, and there was a pleasant Christmassy atmosphere about. I was yet to do my Christmas shopping, but with 3 days to go, there was plenty of time. My only issue was budget. I had no money. I knew that some of my Christmas presents were going to involve craft, or a loan from my parents to ensure that I had something to give them. That's how it used to have to work.
What, you'd make stuff?
No, so I'd borrow money off my parents to buy them presents.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have any.
Just tell them to keep the money, innit?
Well, it would have been easier, but you know how it is. You need to give presents on Christmas, don't you?
I like the idea of you doing craft.
Mm.
I can't quite imagine it.
Are you like Watford's Kirsty Allsop?
I'm not very good at craft. Never have been. There was a hardware store in Pinner that I could get most of the stuff for my family. A mop for my mum or a screwdriver set for my dad.
A mop?
That kind of thing.
Where it's difficult. Your mum a mop?
It's difficult to buy for women, isn't it?
Right, well, yeah.
No, not really. Avoid all cleaning products. No,
that's awful.
No, I'm just saying, for a hardware store, it's if you're going just for the hardware store because it's a bit cheaper, You can only buy certain things for certain people.
Yeah, but most hardware stores have chocolate at the counter.
Yeah, but you can't. You,
it's better than a mop.
Chewing gum.
It's better than a mop.
I can't believe you bought your mum a mop for Christmas.
Well, I wouldn't
get rude.
No, it's not rude. And I know what you're thinking. There's nothing sexist about it. Otherwise, it's just more suited, isn't it? You'd buy your dad the screwdriver set. You wouldn't buy your mum a screwdriver set.
There's nothing sexist about it, but it's more suited. You wouldn't buy your mum a screwdriver set. Right. Okay, good.
All right.
Despite the lack of opportunities...
Did you make her mop up on Christmas Day?
No.
Were you sick on the kitchen floor just to give her something to do?
Despite the lack of opportunities to really do stuff as a 17-year-old in Pinner, there was one night we all focused on and looked forward to. Destiny and Watford were doing their Christmas under-18 night, and it was looking big. It's fair to say everyone was going. An artist called Raghav was performing a live set, which was very exciting.
I don't know them.
I do.
He did a song called Angel Eyes.
Yep.
And there was going to be a live DJ set from a group called Three of a Kind, who were to be performing one of the greatest songs of all time, Baby Cakes.
You do love that one.
I used to love that song so much.
Awful.
I still do now.
It's awful.
The other great thing with the night was that since the summer, fit girls were pretty much in hibernation. In the summer, there were loads about, but come winter, everyone is covered up.
Not in some parts of the country, because I was out in Wigan last weekend and they all still looked hot.
Were they?
They were in exactly the same outfits that they were in August.
Mm.
I must go to Wigan.
Yeah.
To Wigan. Let's go.
Head for the north, my friend.
It's like Lord of the Rings. To Wigan.
To Wigan.
We got the train from Pinner to Watford Met Station. I remember it well. There was a strong smell of Africa in the air.
That smell en masse can be suffocating.
Mm.
It's like a boys' changing room.
Mm.
As we rounded the corner of... That would have been a good name for a boy band, wouldn't it? The boys' changing room. No, actually, no.
No, because the
weird
smell from that is gross.
How do you know, please?
Because you just have to walk past it to get to the girls' one.
Sure.
Yeah.
Mm.
I know what you're up to.
Yeah.
As we rounded the corner of the town centre, the queue for the club stretched far down the road. There was a ridiculous amount of people, and we joined straight up to the back. About an hour later, we walked through the doors to the club and walked inside.
An hour?
Yeah, it took ages to get in.
Big night.
It was incredible. After about half an hour or so, I was on the way back from the toilets when I saw this really good-looking girl. She seemed really familiar and was dressed in a Santa outfit. She was with a small group of girls, but as she caught my eye, it really bugged me because I knew her from somewhere. Weirdly, I kind of thought that she was looking at me the same way. It was only when I got back to Dougsy and Webbo and told them about it that I realised that it was the girl I danced with at my Year 8 disco. A girl for this chapter that I will call Gladys.
Not her real name, no.
So it's really weird. No, of course not. But do you remember, we've talked about, it was one of my chapters at the tap end from my Year 8 disco, which was a huge moment.
Mm.
And it was this girl. She was back.
Right, so like what, 3 or 4 years later?
Yeah. And she looked very different. She'd gone through changes. I proper liked this girl, but we fell out of touch, and a couple of years had since passed. She looked different, but I was sure it was her. Me and my mates went upstairs, but by the time we got there, she was gone. Me, Dougsy and Webbo propped up the bar most of the night. I don't particularly remember the set from Raghav, but I remember hearing Baby Cakes come on, and everyone piling onto the dance floor. At midnight, the DJ announced that we were going to pretend it was Christmas, and there was a big countdown, because it was like 3 days before, because
right,
it was an under-18 one, it wasn't the actual Christmas Eve.
So were you pretending it's Christmas?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you have to stay there for 3 days?
No, just that
oh,
night.
Oh, right. He starts and he's like, 29,000.
No. The countdown was like, okay. 5, 4. There was such a good atmosphere. Everyone was having a great time. And as the DJ pressed play on Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas Is You, the crowd went nuts. There was a snow machine that went off, absolutely covering the club. And as everyone was jumping, people were grabbing randoms. And it was getting emotional. I was in the middle of a Mariah Carey mosh pit when I looked to my left.
Who never thought that would happen?
And then I saw her, Gladys, across the dance floor. For the next few songs, though, I couldn't stop looking at her. She was having a great time. Blokes would go close to her, but she would just smile and carry on dancing with her friends. Dougsy and Webbo just looked on as I walked over, just as the music was changing. If you have the audio tape for this biography, press play now.
Oh. Okay. I love this song.
This is it.
Ah.
kind of emotional.
This says Christmas to me.
As I walked near to her, her mate saw me and nudged her.
Everybody's got something they had to leave behind.
She turned around and said, "Hi, Chris." I was surprised she actually knew my name.
It just seems to grow with time.
She asked what I'd been up to and how school was and all that. I didn't have much to say back, and really out of character to me, I asked if she'd like to dance. I sort of shot myself. Maybe it was the Red Bull talking.
How many did you add?
I'd had a few.
Oh, I thought that was a nickname for something.
No. It was,
like what you call...
You could only have soft drinks. Oh. But she smiled and said yes.
I never had a dream come
true. Adrenaline ran through my body, but unlike when we danced in year 8, I knew what I had to do. Instead of putting my hands on her shoulders, I put my hands on her waist.
Mm-hmm.
And she put her hands on my shoulders. What's wrong, Becky?
I don't know. It's just takes like the romance out of it a bit.
Well, no, what happened in year 8 is
I knew what I had to do.
She put her hands on my shoulders and I put my hands on her shoulders.
Yes.
Yeah.
We were like dancing zombies.
Really awkward.
And then we danced. It felt amazing. I could see her mates pointing, and I could only imagine what Dougsy and Webbo were thinking. I gave them the thumbs up.
Girls love it when you do that.
The end of the night came so quickly, though, but we promised to stay in touch and meet up again soon, which we did.
Somewhere in my memory.
But I haven't spoken to her for years now, and I hope she's all right. I often think about that night. It had been a great party, and I guess they were right. There really is no party like an S Club party. Merry Christmas.
Do you have a message for her if she's listening for Gladys?
Hi, Gladys.
Hi, Gladys. Hope you're all right. Hope life's treating you well. Regards. Chris.
June. I've boshed banter in Prague, I've dressed up as a Smurf, I've swapped lives with a German, bought strip pens in France, I've covered teachers in sunscreen, nearly drowned in some foam, I had a naked massage, me and my mates had a laugh, I did
24 years at the top end.
At the tap end.
Chris, I'm going to have to trouble you for another tap end on Christmas Eve.
Oh, Christmas okay. Eve one.
Yeah, no pressure.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Do you know who we've not spoken to for a while and I really want to get on right now? My friend Unlucky Gary McFly. You sometimes forget that that's his surname, but it is.
But when he comes on, it means there's a story, right?
Yeah. So it was Gary's Christmas party, work Christmas do last night.
Oh, God.
Gary, are you there?
Hi, all right.
Yeah. So tell us how long you were at the party for, your work's Christmas do.
About 8.5 minutes.
8.5 minutes.
Oh, no.
Now, that's impressive.
Approx.
Yeah. I'd like to know if there's any listeners that have been to their party and thought, this is awful, and managed less than 8 minutes. 8.5 minutes.
Were you kettled? Yeah. What happened?
No, I just downed the champagne and went out the side door. I went in the day that the invitation went round, so a girl at work told me it was fancy dress.
Oh, so Gary.
Like a week before, I was like searching what to wear, so I ordered a elf suit offline.
Oh.
And everyone at work was like, "Oh, what are you wearing?" I was like, "Oh, I was like, made it a surprise." So I turned up in an elf suit, and it weren't actually fancy dress.
So you're the only person in fancy dress because they told you it was fancy dress.
As an elf, yeah.
Right. Oh. And what was happening at the Christmas party? How many people were there?
There weren't that many people when I got there.
No. And I saw the pictures, thanks.
Yeah, I showed you. And they had like Ice Age on in like a cinema thing on the projector.
Wow.
Why?
And at first I was just, I don't know. And then at first I was just sat on my own, dressed like an elf, drinking the champagne.
Watching a child's film.
Yeah.
Why would you have a child's film on it at Christmas party? That's weird.
I don't know.
Oh, it's Christmas. Let's put Ice Age on.
And the food weren't out or anything. I thought, oh, I'm going to go.
So you're sat?
I obviously.
Oh, yeah. Sat on your own in an elf costume watching Ice Age and no one else there?
Yeah, no food out.
And you're the only person in fancy dress?
Yeah, just me.
That's why we love you, Gary. Speak to you later.
Speak to you later.
Love you, bye.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
Okay, so this is it. Here's the thing.
Why am I... I feel nervous.
Don't be nervous.
All fine. So Chris has decided that he wants to be a star on stage in the West End. But so far, let's be honest, his stage performances have been awful. Like, absolute disasters. The first time you actually vomited on stage in front of a live audience, that was at the Edinburgh Festival when we made you eat the chicken nuggets. Mm. The second stage appearance, which was only last weekend, you accidentally trod on the microphone lead, pulling it out so no one could hear your one line of our perfect Christmas single. What's the line?
Not a free reindeer.
Yeah.
Oh, but he knows it.
They couldn't hear it, though, could they?
No, they couldn't hear it.
Because the mic was unplugged. But you haven't given up. I'll give you that, Chris. So just remind us, what is your dream again? What's your ideal West End role?
Well, I said the other day, I suppose I stand by it, Jean Valjean in Les Mis. I would love to be a lead role in Les Mis.
But don't you have to have gone to, like, stage school or had a bit more experience before you suddenly...
What, to be JVJ?
To suddenly jump into a lead role in a West End?
Well, I suppose that's probably the standard route, but surely, you know, there's other ways.
So Les Mis is your favourite, right?
Yes.
Your absolute favourite.
Yeah.
You tweeted them, didn't you?
I did tweet Les Mis.
What did you say?
Please consider me for the role of Jean Valjean in Les Mis. I'd smash it.
Any reply?
None.
Right, well, I've got some news for you.
No way.
I have been in touch with a certain West End musical.
No way.
And I have got you a part.
Jean Valjean.
This is what I've been working on. For one night only, you will be the star of the West End stage.
No way.
It's happening. And this is happening soon. It's tomorrow night.
So, hang on.
Good luck learning new lines.
So I've got to learn the songs.
Well, I can't say exactly what musical you're going to be in, but here's a clue. On tomorrow's show, I've got you someone to help you get ready for your part. And that person is Samantha Barks, who's starred in Les Miserables on stage, and she's in the new film.
I love her.
Yeah. So she's going to be on the show to help you prepare for your role on stage in London's busy West End.
I can't believe I'm going to be in Les Mis.
Tomorrow night.
Neither can
this
I.
This is crazy.
How do you feel?
I'm buzzing for it.
How are you, how are you with the songs, learning
great
songs? Yeah?
I'll do it. I'll learn them all tonight.
Okay.
I will literally go on the internet and I will... I can't believe... Is this on... I'm going to be in the West End.
And Samantha Barks is going to be on tomorrow just to give you a few little tips before you take to the stage tomorrow night.
I can't wait. This is happening.
You're welcome.
BBC Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Who is ready for Real or No Real? Roddo.
Ready.
Roddo.
Okay, selection of facts, some real, some totally made up by someone with a weird imagination. 81199. Let me know how you do today on Real or No Real, or you can let me know on Twitter as well, at BBCR1. Some good ones in here today. Here's Chris Smith off the news with the first fact or not.
Pteranophobia is the fear of being tickled by a feather.
Ooh. Tickled by a feather. Pteranophobia.
Pteran. I'm trying to work out what that's maybe Latin for or something. Because the phobia bit I get. Pteran. Pteran. That's right. Terrain, isn't it?
That'd be the fear of pate. Was Cacilius terrified by feathers whilst he was in the garden?
I don't know.
Right.
Real or no real?
I'm saying it's probably the fear of pate.
I'm going to say real.
Real?
Because there's phobias for everything these days, isn't there?
I used to be a bit scared of pate.
Yeah.
If it's like a big bit.
A big bit? What do you mean? Like lumpy pate, not smooth? No, do you like, mean when like they... a, just a large portion?
Yeah, like a large portion. Like when I was a kid, I remember being quite scared of it. I wouldn't eat it. Like, no. It's like my friend that's scared of peas.
But in just...
Can't stand them, can't even see, like, look at them.
Mm. Big peas or just...
No, just like...
Petit pois.
Yeah, garden peas. Any pea, not keen.
What about mange too and like the peas that come in the pod?
He's fine with that. It's just the, like, your average pea.
What about sweet corn? Because that's effectively just a yellow pea.
No. Not a problem with them. It's just the green peas. Like, literally, if it's on your plate next to him, he will run a mile.
Chickpeas?
I don't know.
This could go on for ages.
Real or no real?
Real.
That one?
No.
No. No real.
I didn't even give you a chance to answer. No real.
That one is real.
Oh. Yes.
And here's your next real or no real.
Reindeer do not actually exist. They are horses who got their heads stuck in trees.
Now, I'm not being funny, but the first one might have been. And then it kind of, as it went down, the branches grew in. You know, like with evolution.
Yes. Well, yeah, why not?
Because these things happen and then it just becomes part of the animal.
I mean, what are antlers? Really? I mean, what
are they?
Are they
wood?
I've wondered this before.
Are they wood? I mean, are is they that wood? Really as stupid as that sounds?
Do we all sound like idiots now? Because I've wanted to ask this question before, but I've been too worried of sounding like a Dumbo.
Mm.
The one that doesn't speak is now going to Google it for us.
How can they be wood, though?
What are antlers made of? We're not the first people to ask this question.
Right. I've just always wondered. I don't think it can be wood.
MDF.
They've self-produced.
Bone.
Oh, bone.
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 Anyway, reindeer, real or no real?
No reindeer real. Are real, but the antlers
it's no
are
real.
Not true. No real.
That one is no real.
Oh, you were right. And next, please, Chris Smith.
Research has determined most people are happiest at 7:26 p.m. on Saturday night.
Is that when Bruce does his joke on Strictly?
I think it is.
Really, that depends on the Watford score for me.
Right.
So...
Most people, though, there are not many fans.
No, but...
Is this the time
fans.
when I'd be watching people fall off trampolines on You've Been Framed?
Good point.
Because, I mean, that makes me happy.
Mm.
And they go, oh, she's fallen over at a wedding.
Yeah.
Real or no real?
I reckon... Do you know what? I reckon this is true. You've had a good Chinese takeaway. Watford have won.
Bruce has done his joke.
And you're about to go on a night out. Yeah, I'm going to go for that.
No real.
That one is real.
Yeah.
Right, when are you at your happiest?
7:26 on a Friday.
No, the answer is 1 till 4, weekday afternoons.
Oh, I'm sorry, yes.
And next.
Stephen Fry has never read a book in his entire life. All his information on QI is scripted by the Chuckle Brothers. Ha ha ha.
What do the Chuckle Brothers do now?
Panto.
Do they?
This is their busiest time, Chris.
They don't get much TV work anymore, did they?
Not
they
so much.
Over the screens when I was a youngster.
No, they're doing all right, don't worry.
I'm going to say no real.
I often speak to Barry.
Because I've seen him read... Have I seen him read a book? I must have seen him read a book.
The Chuckle
on TV.
Brothers?
No, Stephen Fry. He must have quoted from a book. I was like reading it on a documentary, so I'm going to say that's real. No real.
I'm going to say real.
That Stephen Fry has never read a book.
No, hang on. No, I got this wrong. No real.
That one is no real.
Yeah. Oof, saved it.
I have to tell you, this Saturday, I will certainly be happiest at 7:26 because I'll have almost finished watching A Very JLS Christmas.
Oh, awesome.
Which I think will put a smile on anyone's face.
I agree. Right, okay, we're getting absolutely slated for the antlers and wood comment. I mean, seriously.
That was a mistake on our behalf.
People are so embarrassed for us.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I only apologise.
I'm so sorry. But we're getting rinsed on Twitter, on the text. Antlers are made of wood, lol.
Should have just put real on the end of it.
Wood grow on trees, not animals, lol. No, I know, it's part of trees, but I didn't know if you could also get wood from antlers.
We look like idiots.
Odd bone, though, isn't it?
And next.
Grizzly bears and polar bears can mate. Their offspring are referred to as pizzlies or growler bears.
Oh, there's no such thing as a growler bear.
Or pizzlies.
I want to see a pizzly.
So, you don't think that's possible?
No.
Do you know what, though? Because you can get other mixes of other animals, can't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, what's there's a zebra and something else.
Careful, because you're just making yourself look stupid again, possibly.
No, yeah. I'm going to say this is real. I'm going to go for it, because there are mixes of other weird animals.
Like what?
Zebra I can't think of one at the moment. There's
have
like
a guess. Have an educated guess.
Zebra and a
horse. An elephant.
No, not a...
It's a zebra-phant.
I know, there's a tiger and a lion is a liger. So I'm going to say, yes, you can have a pizzly and a growly
I'm
bear.
Saying they've never...
Who's
thought...
ever heard of a liger?
I think I have.
Oh, I'm good. Okay, me again then.
That comment.
The one that doesn't speak is now typing in zebra-phant. No, I think they're...
There's not a
no,
zebra-phant.
No, they've just been photoshopped.
Oh, that's not real.
That's a drawing.
Apparently you can get a zebroid, which is a zebra and zebra and a donkey.
No!
So I'm going to say this called? Is real.
So it's you're saying you can't get a pizzly?
Yeah. Yeah.
No real.
That one is real.
Yes!
What?
Big that is a good one.
And the zebroid.
That is a good one. That was fascinating. And at that round of real or no real, the scores are...
I've got 30, Becky got 50.
Well done, Becky.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Chris is reeling with excitement of the news that I have got him a little part in a play tomorrow in a certain West End musical.
It's incredible news.
For one night only, he's going to be the star of the stage, darling. And it's tomorrow night, so get learning. Hey, Lottie.
Hi.
What's going on?
Not much, really, just chilling.
Where are you?
At home in Petersfield.
Okay. Are you finished school now?
No, I finished on Friday.
Okay. How can I help?
Basically, I went to an audition for Les Mis and my dad got the part over me.
What? Stage or film?
For the film.
How old are you?
16.
Right, so you go to audition for a part in the film of Les Miserables that's coming out soon?
Yeah, I went to the audition.
Did you audition for the part of a middle-aged man?
No, I just went for a general part.
Right. So then what happened when you got there?
We got there and they kind of said, anyone want to audition? So it's kind of like an open audition. And my dad thought he'd audition as well. And he got the part and I didn't.
For the same part?
Yeah, for the same general part. He got the part instead.
Okay, so they were looking for just randoms, not like a specific character. Okay,
yeah,
cool.
random people.
I was wondering how you and your dad at any point could have possibly played the same character.
Yeah.
So he got it?
Yeah, he got it.
So he's in the film?
My dad is in the film.
What do we look out for?
He's in a big scene where there's lots of water.
Okay, he's in the scene with the water then.
Keep an eye out for him.
Will I spot him or are there a lot of other people in the scene?
There are a lot of other people, but he's kind of near a camera.
He's near the camera. What does he look like?
16-year-old girl. By the sounds
No.
Oh, are you gutted?
I was gutted. He went filming and everything. And
you didn't get anything.
But are you proud of him? Are you proud of him now?
Very proud of him.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. It does prove, though, that anyone can do it.
Exactly.
Yeah. There's hope for you, Chris.
I know, I'm going to learn all this. It's going to be brilliant.
Yeah. All right, good to speak to you, Lottie. Love you, bye. So we're back on tomorrow live between 1 and 4 on BBC Radio 1, including some very wet innuendo bingo at 1:45. And ahead of Chris's role on the stage, Samantha Barks pops in.
Scott Mills, BBC Radio 1.